Talking today with Dr. Brett Carver, state wheat breeder for OSU. And Dr. Carver, talking today here at the Oklahoma Wheat Review for 2019. And at the beginning of your review, you talked that you've not felt this excited about the program in a long time. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I've been excited for a long time. It's just that excitement seems to never end. You know, every year I think, well, okay, I don't know if it could get any better than this. But the data comes in, you know, from the field, and it sort of verifies what I saw in the field. And this year is just really exciting to see the different directions I think we can move the program. I like one that can respond to multiple needs, not just, you know, the same need of yield and test weight.
Yeah.
That's okay, you know, that will keep us busy. But certain parts of that I think we can take apart, tease apart, and make that yield and quality even better.
You know, that's one thing to be said about your program is that it's just going in so many different directions and stuff. You've got so much going on. How do you stay focused on those primary goals that you have and not stretch yourself too thin?
Well, again, it's you know, yield and quality are the driving forces. But how do we get to better yield and better quality? We can get there in many different ways, and it depends on, you know, maybe depends on what part of the state we're talking about, and every part of our state has its unique environment. And trying to focus in on those environments, I think, kind of takes us in different directions.
Sure.
And then we have, of course, multiple classes of wheat,
yeah,
red and white.
So as you continue that work, you know, you talked today that there's a few gaps that you're working on trying to fill in the program. Talk about those gaps that you're working on and how you go about achieving that.
Well, the first gap has been one that's been a gaping hole for several years now, and that's our beardless effort. And I want to emphasize, just like I would in front of any audience, that our beardless wheats are not just beardless. I mean, they're the same as bearded, but no awns. They need to do the same things as our bearded wheats, and that is perform well in the field and in the bakery. But we've had a tough string there where stripe rust sort of took out a big portion of our genetics on the beardless, in the beardless pipeline. We've kind of recovered from that now, and we have a couple of candidates we're looking at, and one I think we can talk about in the coming year. The seed is being produced, the foundation seed, and I talked about the number being 12206. Okay, 12206, a good looking wheat variety for whether it's beardless or not, for the western half of our state.
So beyond that, you know, there's so many varieties out there right now, and like I said, going so many different directions. You're actually kind of talking and considering about maybe reducing that down a little bit to where you can kind of focus more on some of the varieties you're really excited about and get those to producers, I guess, in short order.
Yeah. You know, every year we're talking about, believe it or not, it can be as many as 20 candidates. You know, they're in the game. You know, they all have an equal opportunity. But as the year goes by, you know, we add data to an existing mountain of data, we can start limiting that down to just a handful. But still, I mean, we've had pretty active years the last couple of years in terms of variety releases. I see this year not being that different, except we're just focusing on certain characteristics. Wheat streak, I didn't mention that yet, but I did today. Wheat streak mosaic resistance for the panhandle and the beardless, like I already mentioned. But hard white, I mean, I think we need to be in that business, and we need to have more genetics, a better diversity of genetics, and genetics that works for Oklahoma to enable that wheat class to take off like it should.
Yeah. And talk a little bit more about that hard white variety that you're working on. You know, I know that Double Stop has been one of those varieties that's really been at the top of the list for a lot of folks. Is this something that can compete with Double Stop, you think?
Oh yeah, for productivity and for quality. But of course, you know, Double Stop has the imazamox herbicide resistance, but we're not talking about that in the white wheat. The white wheat is not Clearfield by any stretch. But this white wheat just has an amazing ability to retain a healthy canopy. And you know, healthy canopy means a lot. It means a lot in terms of yield in the end and how well it's going to perform in the bakery. So I don't see very many varieties that have this exceptional level of stay green. It's a little bit late, but that doesn't explain its stay green. It is just naturally a good hygiene, and of course it helps to have resistance to multiple diseases. And the ones we saw this year that you'll hear about from Dr. Hunger, leaf rust and septoria primarily, but there was also bacterial leaf streak. It handled those very well. And we've not had that disease combination before to see it like we did this year. We may not ever have it again, but I know it has those resistances we need for those other more common diseases. Stripe rust, it's coming back. It'll be here sometime.
And I think that's just a perfect example about how every growing season, you know, there's never one that's the same. So how do you account for that in your program? Just covering your bases? Or
cover the bases by not being tempted to commercialize genetics that has not seen enough time. It needs the time in the field. And, you know, I'd love to be able to say, we've tested this 3 years, we're good to go. I think maybe one out of 20 releases was like that. It's more like 3 to 6 years. The more looks we can have in Oklahoma, the more confident I can have as a breeder, but also the more confident the producer can have in adopting that genetics. And it's typically more like 5 years, sometimes 7 years, that we'll evaluate something in replicated yield trials. This is after all the breeding work that goes on. Replicated yield trials and quality trials. For 5 to 7 years, that's a pretty stretch, good stretch.
And, of course, as we move forward, this will all be, you know, backed by the producers' voices and giving their feedback and how they think that this program should continue on.
Oh, I can't say enough how much I just eat that up. That feedback is so important to have. And I never turn away any suggestions. And, in fact, our beardless work really came about as, you know, we need a beardless wheat. Of course, the white wheat. But I want to know how these varieties perform in the real world. I try to approximate that as much as possible. But we can't get there all the time. And so, yeah, bring them on.
Yeah, and to talk to the program's credit, you know, out of the 51 varieties y'all tested, 14 of those derived from OSU and 6 out of the top 7 OSU varieties. Talk about the success this year.
Well, the success comes in adoption. You know, it really doesn't do much good to breed up these varieties if nobody's going to adopt them. And that, to me, is a humbling, of course, but it's also a statement saying, okay, do what you've been doing because it's working. And we're going to continue doing what we're doing, but maybe tweak it a little bit along the way so we can do it even better.